Anything you try to do, anything you try to build, if it's for God, if it's good, if it makes sense, if it's worth pouring yourself into, you will encounter opposition one way or another.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Chobe. Maybe you've listened to Straight Talk for some time now, and you've heard the teaching, and it's encouraged your heart, and it has spoken to your soul, but you have never made a clear, intentional decision to become a full-fledged follower of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a difference between being a sympathizer and being someone that's a fully committed disciple. The difference is that a sympathizer likes the words, enjoys the teaching, sympathizes with Jesus, but hasn't crossed the line to say, I'm committed more than just a sympathizer. The Bible's really clear about it. It's an act of the will and an act of faith that releases the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus into our life. There's no magic prayer, although a prayer in faith can mark the beginning of our conversion. It's us being willing to acknowledge that we cannot save ourselves, that we have sinned, that we have violated God's law, that we have made mistakes against God, and that we need those to be cleansed in our life. It's also a willingness to believe and say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you sacrificed yourself for me, and I believe that you have the power to cleanse me. The Bible tells us that when in faith we repent, we acknowledge our sin, and we embrace that Jesus will be our Savior and Lord, bow our knee and yield our will, that at that moment in time, truth mixes with faith, releases the Holy Spirit into our life, and the Bible refers to it as being born again or being a new creation or a new creature. Once you've made that decision, then you need to make sure that you plug into a community of faith. You need to find a church and plug into that church. You need to get baptized as a sign of your following Jesus Christ, and you need to begin to grow in your walk with God. That's what it means to be a disciple. So if you've never made that decision, then I urge you, I encourage you, don't let this day go by without making sure that you make that decision before God. And if you do make that decision listening to this broadcast, why don't you email me and let me know, hey, Mark, I was listening to your broadcast. This is the decision that I've made. We'd love to encourage you and send you some material to get started in your walk in God.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hello, everyone. We continue on in Pastor Mark's series called Rebuild Your Life, Your City, Your World, as we continue moving on in the book of Nehemiah chapter 4. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk called Moving Forward Under Attack.
This chapter is really about everything going wrong. How many of you know in life that there's times and seasons in life where it seems like everything goes wrong? Everything you can envision goes wrong. Things are going smooth, but then boom, your tire blows out, and boom, your furnace goes, and boom, you get a bad report from the doctor, and boom, your business gives you this notice that they're going to be laying people off, and it seems like you get this domino effect of bad news that comes your way, and you're throwing up your hands in the air saying, what in the world is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Life is going on. Because life is not just a series of open doors. Life has opposition. Anytime we're making progress, there will be opposition to our progress. It's like I heard of a lady. This is a true story. In Darlington, Maryland, her name was Edith. She had a mother of eight. She came home one Saturday afternoon, walked into her living room, and found five of her youngest children huddled around in the living room. When she poked her head to see what they were huddled around, she discovered they were huddled around a bunch of skunks, little baby skunks. Well, she panicked, and she said, everybody go to your room! So they all grabbed one skunk, and they all took their skunks to the different rooms they were at. You know, they just... So things go wrong. Sometimes you think you're going to solve a problem and you make the problem even worse. Nehemiah thought things were going pretty well. He has a great job. He's assistant to the king of Persia. Things are going well. He's made his way, climbed his way up the immigrant ladder. His grandparents were slaves. He's living in Jerusalem. He's made a success out of his life. Suddenly, he gets news from Jerusalem, 800 miles away. He's never been there. He gets news that it's devastated. The walls are torn down. Something needs to be done. He gets a burden. He can't shake it. He lives with it. He fasts. He prays. He can't get rid of it for 100 days. Finally, he's got to do something about it. He goes to the king of Persia, says, I need to go back to Jerusalem. The king of Persia grants him permission. He goes back to Jerusalem, a city that's been devastated, torn down, in ruins for 141 years, and his task is to try to rebuild the wall that's around the city, to try to rebuild the infrastructure of the city, to try to revive the church that's in the city. And he gets there, inspects the walls, mobilizes the people, they all start working, and it seems like things are humming well. I mean, people are motivated. Everyone has grabbed a section of the wall. They're working on it. They're inspired. They're rah, rah, let's do it. We can do it. And it seems like all his dreams and visions are coming to pass, that God has opened up the door one after another, after another, after another, until now. You see, if things are going well in your life and God is opening up a bunch of doors and you're trying to do something for God and rebuild something for God, that's good. But don't expect the honeymoon to last forever. Because anytime you try to make progress in life, invariably you will encounter opposition. Anything you try to do, anything you try to build, if it's for God, if it's good, if it makes sense, if it's worth pouring yourself into, you will encounter opposition one way or another. It's going to come. So don't be surprised when it's come, like, God, what's happened? No, it's going to come. Remember, Pastor Mark told me it's going to come. It's going to happen. Opposition will come your way. In fact, let me tell you this. If you're leading anything, expect opposition. I've been a pastor for 21 years, I said earlier. And let me tell you, I've learned over the years, especially as I train younger pastors and leaders in ministry, I always let them know, hey, if you're going to lead, remember there will be opposition. And if you can't handle opposition, then step out right now, because you will be lambasted and bombarded, and you have to realize that's just part of leading. Everyone who steps up to lead anything is going to be opposed. There'll be times where you'll be opposed. And so you have to learn to live and understand that opposition is going to be there. So the question is, how do I move forward under attack? How do I move forward when opposition is coming my way? And that's really the question I'm answering today as we look at Nehemiah chapter 4. Because Nehemiah chapter 4 is, how do we keep going when people or opposition comes our way? Verse 1. When Sambalat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. You know, you need to realize that some people will not be happy at the progress you're making in life. Some people aren't going to be glad you got that job. They're going to be angry. Some people aren't going to be happy that you have 6 months of sobriety. They're not going to be rejoicing. Some people aren't going to be happy that you had that loan approved to get that house and the mortgage was approved and finally you're moving into your own place. Not everybody will be happy. Not everybody's going to be rejoiced that you got accepted into college and you're finally progressing. Not everybody's going to be happy when they know that you're starting your own business and the loan went through. Listen, here's the thing. Not everybody rejoices when things go well in your life. You will have people that will become angry at your prosperity. They will become angry at your progress. Because your progress sometimes will mean that they lose influence, control, and power. And sometimes we think that everybody will be happy when things go well for us, but life isn't that way. There will be people that are self-centered, people that have a vested interest in you not prospering. Sanballat did not want Jerusalem to be rebuilt. He wanted it to be a ghetto. He wanted it to be lawless. He wanted the houses to remain torn down because he was taking advantage of the people that had little protection. He wanted the infrastructures to be broken because he had greater control. He didn't want there to be organization. He didn't want the city to be rebuilt. He liked the ghetto. He wanted it broken down. He wanted people living in boarded up houses. He wanted people to be in debt. His business thrived when other people were in chaos. He loved the way it was, and he opposed any rebuilding. And Sanballat is he's the image of that person that opposes any rebuilding that God is doing. And he says he became very angry and greatly incensed, and he ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore the wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from the heap of rubbles, burned as they are?" Then Tobiah, his crony, the Ammonite, chimed in, who was at his side, and he said, "What are they building? If even a fox climbed on it," referring to the wall, "it would break down their walls of stone." Now here we have two men that are not lifting one single finger to help, but yet they're sitting back with their arms crossed, criticizing, using ridicule and sarcasm to discourage the people that are trying to do something about it. Oh, I wish you could hear me. Because there's always those that cross their arms. They won't lift a finger, but they watch you try to do something good.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Moving Forward Under Attack, which is from our series called Rebuild, Your Life, Your City, Your World. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. His message, Moving Forward Under Attack.
And then, now they don't roll up their sleeves and say, "Let me help." They sit on the sidelines with their arms crossed and say, "You're never going to do it. It'll never happen. The price tag is too big. You guys don't have the power, the money, the resources. You might as well pack your bags and go home because it's never going to happen." How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's always those that cross their arms, sit on the sidelines when something good is happening, but don't lift a finger to help out in that good that God is trying to do. It's the Sanballats and Tobias, and they'll always be there. You might as well just get used to it because life is full of Sanballats and Tobias that cross their arms and ridicule what you are trying to do, the good that is coming in your life, the good that you're trying to embrace. You'll never graduate from college. Your brother dropped out too. Your mom never made it through. You might as well quit now and get a real job. Make some money because you're not smart enough to make it through. There's always the Sanballats. There's always the Tobias around us. And the Bible says that they ridiculed them. And I believe that you need to understand the whole aim of the opposition. And jot this down if you're taking notes because this is super important. The aim of most spiritual attacks, listen to me well, is to weaken your mindset in order to stop the progress of what God is doing. You see, most battles are not lost because we can't do it. Most battles are lost because we don't think we can do it. Most battles are not lost because we can't. Most battles are lost because the way we think. Because we become distracted or discouraged. Most sport teams, it's not just about their physical conditioning, it's about their mental state. People win or lose because of how they're thinking. People succeed in life or fail in life because of their thinking. People bail out of Christianity or grow in Christianity because of their thinking. And so if your thinking can become demoralized, if your vision can become blurred, if your faith can be squelched, if your expectation of the future can become smaller, then you have lost half the battle right there. Are you tracking with me? Because really, it's your thinking. It's your thinking. And notice what happens. I love what Nehemiah does. You see, the enemy's all about stopping the progress in your life. The moment that you stop working on what God has called you to do, it's the moment the enemy has won. The moment you stop doing what God has called you to do, it's the moment the enemy has already gained a victory in your life. They were trying to stop Nehemiah and his progress. I love what Nehemiah did. Look at in verse 4, Nehemiah prays. He doesn't go to talk to Sanballat and Tobiah. He doesn't say, well, let me argue with you because, no, I think we can do it. And we have an army. We have a strategy. We have a plan. He doesn't talk to them. He ignores them. He goes to God. He says, God, see what they're saying about us? God, do you hear them? How they're trying to demoralize us? And I kind of like his prayer, in fact, too. He says, turn their insults back on their own heads. I like that prayer. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of your builders. By the way, he's not the only one that's prayed a prayer like that. Do you remember in Psalms 58 what King David says? King David says, break their teeth in their mouth. Now, that doesn't sound like a nice prayer, does it? I know some of you have prayed stuff like that before. Don't act like you haven't. You know, but you say, well, hey, Mark, can we really pray prayers like that? I think there's a time when our prayers are, God, you need to fight for me because I don't have time to fight. I need you to be my defender. I got a job to do, and it's the job you've called me to do, God. And I'm not going to quit doing the job that you've called me to do to try to fight my critics on my opponents. So, Lord, I'm calling you to stand up and defend me. You fight my job. You thwart the attacks of the enemy. You mess up their schemes. You confuse their mind. You stop the opposition, Lord. I'm asking you to fight my battles for me because I can't stop. I have a call on my life. Hello? And then verse 6 is my favorite verse in this point because he says, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half of its height. Remember, the wall is about 15 feet high. So it reached about 7 or 8 feet. We rebuilt it to half its height, for the people worked with all of their heart. I like the version that says, for the people had a mind to work. You see, the enemy was trying to get them off track. He was trying to discourage them. He was trying to stop them from working on what they were supposed to be working on. But the people had a mind to work. They didn't stop to answer their critics. They didn't stop and argue about what was right or wrong. They just kept doing what God had called them to do. I want you to hear me well. If God's called you to rebuild your family, then do it and don't stop. If God's called you to do a ministry, then do it and don't stop. If God has called you to work on your children, then do it and don't stop. If God has called you to build a business, then do it and don't stop. Do what God has called you to do and don't get entrapped in trying to answer all your critics. If I spent time trying to answer everybody that criticized me over the years, I would not get anything done. You say, Pastor, you get criticized? Oh. Every leader does. You can't lead a church movement of several thousand people without not getting criticism. It's going to happen. And when I was a young pastor, it would demoralize me. Oh, Lord, I got to go meet with them and talk with them and try to win them to my side. And all kinds of interesting. People get mad. We're in Chicago. Yeah, there's all kinds of assortment of nutcases and psychos and fruitcakes and axe to grind. People that don't know you, they're just ready to pick a fight. Period. How about it? So what are we living? I've had people tell me, hey, you know, hey, Pastor, this has happened a couple times. I remember one woman telling me, hey, you know, my husband says that if he sees you on the street, he's going to punch you. I said, well, I don't think I've ever met your husband. She said, no, you haven't. I wanted to say, could you give me a picture just, you know, so I can duck when I see him, you know. He's just mad. I said, well, why is he mad at me? I've never met him. She says, well, my life has changed, and, you know, I'm not going out partying with him anymore, and he's really mad at you. I wanted to give him Pastor Mike's email and said, well, you know, I think maybe Pastor Mike's really the one. No. I've had people threaten my life. People write nasty, blankety-blank, blank-blank-blanky, blankety-blank-blank-blank-blank, you pastor. And people get mad, threaten, curse. I'm on their blacklist. I've had photos sent back, crossed out, you antichrist. I mean, it's just part of opposition. You just need to know that anytime you lead anything, there will be opposition that will come your way. It just goes with the territory. Just to be expected. It just happens that way. And I tell my wife at times, she says, you know, sometimes I get letters, emails, whatever, and I try to evaluate and consider them. If I just feel from an angry person, I just kind of move on. A while back, there was a guy that always kind of had this obsession on me dying. It's not a good thing, right, when someone has an obsession with me dying, and he would stop me and say, you're going to get shot. And I remember stopping and I said, you know what, okay, well, if I get shot, all right, I'll leave that up to God. But as long as, like, you're not involved in it, right, bud? You know, you have nothing to do with it, that would be okay. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Anytime we try to go forward, there will be opposition internally, externally. There are going to be people that will be mad at what you're doing. When we got in this building here, it took us 11 months to get zoning for this building. There's 4 acres of land, 3 minutes away from Midway Airport, 84,000 square feet. And when we went to get into this building, there was major opposition, organized opposition from certain elements in this community, organized opposition. I mean, that they would travel around where we were meeting in Kennedy High School, count the cars that were there, call up people in the community, rally people to try to say, don't let them in the community. And when I sat down with the opposition leaders and said, I really want to understand why you don't want us in this community, what's the big issue with us being in the community? The argument that I was given is that there's going to be a parking problem on Sunday morning. You see, what I knew, because other people in this group had told me, it was really about religious and racial bigotry. Period. Strong opposition. Rallied up opposition. Letters sent to politicians. People rallied up in fear. We believe that God wanted us to have this building, and we believe we needed to fight for this building. And so instead of, we had a mind to work. In fact, Pastor Mike really had a mind to work. I remember we went around all these people in these houses around here with a petition asking them, hey, are you okay with the church being in this building? And 99% of the people in the community said, yeah, great, a church, we're happy. And we signed hundreds of petitions of neighbors in this community that said, yeah, we're happy. Pastor Mike went around to all Archer Avenue, the business owners, and got a photo with the business owners. Here's Pastor Mike.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago, and this concludes the first half of his message called Moving Forward Under Attack. It's part of our series called Rebuild. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message.
As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app.
Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.